This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about Alien Romulus.
Romulus. Alien has some ups and downs. You know, the first one is immaculate. Aliens is also incredible. I love that film to bits. But with the rest of the series, some of it isn't that good. But there's some really good stuff like the prequel trilogy, but we didn't get to see more of that.
Don't say the prequel trilogy. Trying to make me cry on this,
I'm sorry.
On this Friday afternoon.
The prequel film, sorry. I'll change my wording there and not make everybody upset. I love the prequel films. I thought they expanded the world of Alien in a very clever way. I know Ridley was really passionate about it, but sadly we don't get to see the end of that trilogy. But here we have Romulus. We got a different director. We get to see different directors working on Alien films. But this one was produced by Ridley Scott, and we've seen so much promotion. We've seen so much hype around it. You know, with Ridley, he was just like, don't mess up the film. I'm warning you, do not mess up the film.
Yeah, he even gave a note to Fede Alvarez being like, listen here, you, don't fuck it up. And you know what? Fair enough. There's a lot of pressure. I think that the great thing about Aliens as a franchise, this is our 7th film. Every single one have the exact same strength, and that is the direction. All the directors brought onto Alien, I mean, obviously, infamously, David Fincher on Alien 3, and he hates that film. A lot of people hate that film, but I will say that his direction is as immaculate as the rest of his filmography is. Ridley Scott, James Cameron, David Fincher. I don't know who directed Alien 4, but even so, the direction on that film, I'm going to Google it. I feel bad. Jean-Pierre Jeunet. Great work on Alien Resurrection, even though it's probably the worst one. They all bring something new and exciting, and they just do it well. And I think that Fede Alvarez, straight up alongside them, the direction in this film is utterly, utterly fantastic. They wanted to bring Alien back to basics. They wanted to make, you know, a classic Alien, you know, horror stalker kind of film. And they do it. Well done. You did it. I'm proud of you.
Yippee.
You did exactly what you set out to do. But that's a bit boring to me. I think this film is good. It does what it says on the tin, but this is film 7 and I know exactly what I'm going to get. So you've got to give me something more. And this film didn't in the slightest give me anything new, anything interesting, apart from being very well made and really tense and fantastic sequences, yada, yada, yada. I walked out of the cinema today and I was just like, there we go.
I worked out the same as well. We watched it and we just felt like, did it bring anything new? No. So that was the most terrifying conclusion I came to at the end of the movie. I was like, wow, that movie didn't really add anything to the alien world or lore. But this was kind of like an amalgamation of everything we've seen in the Alien franchise. Sadly, we don't really get to see new ideas or new concepts for this, which is really sad. I mean, with the prequel films, they've brought in new ideas or concepts, but it's just the same idea. They're trying to make the classic Alien story, which I don't mind, but it's just frustrating if you've seen them all and you kind of know what happened, and it's just like, oh, okay, I just don't want this again. I just want something new.
There wasn't a single point where I felt this film could surprise me. There was never a moment where I thought that I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And you can argue that that is a precedent that's been set by quite a few Alien films, and that, yeah, for the last few films, it has been quite obvious what's going to happen. Sure, I think that this, unfortunately, is a product of general audiences didn't respond massively well to Prometheus and Covenant. They thought that those films weren't bringing much new to the table. They thought that they were boring and adding unnecessary lore, and the box office reflected that, right? And so that's why we're here with this, something that tries to bring it back to basics. We've seen it happen in so many franchises like this. It happened with Predator, happened with Terminator, it's happened with even like Star Wars, man. Prometheus and Alien Covenant feel very much like The Last Jedi, and this feels very much like Rogue One or The Rise of Skywalker, in the way that it's safe and it's what people want. And, you know, we went to an 11 a.m. showing and it was pretty packed.
Really packed.
People are going to like this. People are going to come out for this. And that's great. But what does it really add? I'm not even talking about the lore, but thematically, why I loved Prometheus and Covenant was because they had a lot to say about humanity and evolution and the nature of progression and technology and the ethics behind all of that. Fascinating, fascinating films, and I love them to death. And this has a lot of that. This is in conversation with a lot of the franchise, but it doesn't have a single new thing to say. It's like sitting having a conversation with somebody and you say something and they just say the exact same thing back at you. And you're just like, great. I mean, I know, but like, what are you telling me that's new here? Nothing.
Yeah. Thematically, the story, I agree, it just gave us nothing in the film. We explore these characters, and Alien does hold some message in each film. In Aliens, you do with Newt and Ripley's dynamic, like this motherhood figure. But here, it's just like a carbon copy of like, okay, the crew finds something and everything goes sideways. How did they escape? Is like Rogue One situation, like, are they all going to survive? Or is it just one person alive? And this film really struggled to like explore some of the stuff. There was some interesting concepts in there, but they just didn't really go beyond that at all. And that's why we have so many two-dimensional characters. I mean, the first one worked so well because you were trying to figure out which one is the protagonist. Is it Dallas or is it Ripley? Or, you know, the film explores that. And that was so interesting. You were just active, like, okay, what's going to happen? But here, it builds up that anticipation really well. It builds up that intensity, but we didn't have any time to develop with the characters in the film. And that really struggled with me because we only get to see two characters that really bond with each other. And that's it.
Yeah, exactly. The original, it's subversive, it's terrifying. The trope of the final girl in a horror film, the fact that it's not obvious who it is throughout, that's a really interesting thing to explore in that film. And then as you go through the franchise, it's Ripley again, and then Ripley again, and then Ripley again. And then I think maybe the closest you get to a similar situation as Alien is Prometheus, where Shaw is part of this big team and only really comes out as the protagonist, I would say, maybe in the second half. But even Daniels and Covenant, and I would say from the start, it's like, Rain, I know you're the protagonist, and you're the one who we're giving the most depth to. All the characters, as you say, are pretty shallow. They all have their one character trait, and it's like, I am this. And it's like, great, okay. It's a very well-paced film. I never felt slightest bit unengaged or bored. I think that it really effectively sets up all the elements and utilizes them throughout. There's some really great sequences in the third act, which are using things that we have found out from before. That's great. But the problem with films that move so efficiently is that you cut out a lot of that character building stuff. Alien is a slow film. Prometheus is a slow film. And sure, people want their scary alien films, heart-pounding thriller, but I feel like you've got to earn that. You've got to get there in the narrative. And this, it doesn't spend nearly as much time as it should establishing the characters. There's one point where somebody says, oh yeah, he hates synths because of this. And it's like, great. And that's the only character trait that that character therefore has. It feels just so surface level and just an excuse to get to the tense sequences, which are fantastic, but I didn't feel like I truly cared.
Yeah, and there was one character who was just pregnant, and that was just there. There wasn't any time to connect or understand about these characters, and it's so frustrating because then the deaths felt really just void, and the film just didn't do anything with that, with the emotional bits of the story. I mean, apart from Andy and Rain, nothing else worked for it. But we gotta say that the cinematography and the special effects are incredible. I'm really glad we get to see some amazing practical sets. Like, I saw a clip of the practical set they had for the mining colony and how it just felt so alive. They added so much depth, and the ship as well. It was just so cool to see. And I was really happy we get to see practical sets and practical effects as well for the Xenomorph and for the facehuggers as well, which is so insane. And it just felt really real. And I love that. That was the highlight of the film for me, to see that practicality again, you know, from Alien.
I heard Fede Alvarez saying that there was some contention about, do we shoot the colony scenes just like green screen it? But no, they built it. Even if the colony is only in, what, three scenes, but they make all that stuff, and the film is so much better for it. You feel like immediately in this world and you feel grounded. It feels tangible. And there's so many debates all the time, you know, CGI, practical effects, what's better, what's not. It's the blend of the two when you really get it right. Unless you're Avatar, just CGI is never going to cut it. And I think that also, with the vision that a lot of modern films have, CGI characters and full CGI settings, you can't just do all practical. This film gets that blend right. There's only two times in this film when I obviously was taken out of it because of CGI. Two times as in two instances. There's a particular character who the CGI, we will get to that in spoilers, but that particularly was very, very bad, atrocious.
But the point is that
apart from that and one other scene, I was never taken out of it by CGI. The blend of practical and visual effects was so seamlessly done, and it was just like, you know, you see the xenomorph with all the goo dripping off it, and like the little like pods that they like the kind of cocoons and all the gore and the blood. It was it was wonderful. I was very happy.
Yeah, it was very wonderful to see. And I was kind of let down by that CGI, which we were talking about.
Let's do it. And let's just...
Okay, the spoiler zone.
I think the film was fine. It didn't do anything for me. It didn't bring anything new, but it was enjoyable. So
it was very enjoyable. I was happy there was some intense stuff in the film. I was like, whoa, okay, that was crazy. Especially the end. But the film struggles. As I said earlier, this is like an amalgamation of all the Alien films that we've seen. But the problem is, they try to use a character that we've seen before in Alien, and I didn't like how they used this character for the narrative and how it just expanded across the narrative. And that character was Rook. And Rook is very, very similar to that character that we've seen in Alien, which is Ash. Now, they used AI. So they used the actor's face and voice for that character, which is so frustrating and so tasteless as well. It just brought nothing to the table, but also I just felt like, why do we need to bring this character back? But also, isn't this just ruining the actor's face? Even though he passed away a few years ago, maybe it was consented to, maybe for the family, but it just felt like, why are we bringing someone from the Alien film? And it was used for nostalgia, but also for the plot as well, that didn't serve anything at all. It just felt like, hey, do you remember this character? Yeah, do you remember this guy's face? That's it.
Remember how he has his mission in the first film? Well, we're bringing it back, and it's like, that could be
anything, literally anyone.
It's not like he's the only synth we've ever seen. We have established numerous across this saga, and I just don't think that it... You're right, it's ghoulish. It just looks wrong and off, and it feels so antithetical to...
It's bad.
It's just bad, and this is where the comparisons to Rogue One really get close, because Rogue One obviously has that horrible Tarkin and Leia, and in a lot of ways that film opened up the floodgates for a terrible, terrible trend where we are resurrecting dead actors and de-aging and using AI voice modulators to get it all right. And it's like, what would we have not... The use of Rook, of Ash, of Ian Holm in this film, you could have easily put some sort of distorted mask, like make a practical cast of his face, make it all weird and messed up because he's half a robot, and just use that, and we would have accepted it. You could have recast him. You could have had to just be a different character. You could have had Michael Fassbender, have it be David, connect it to Prometheus or something. There are so many other things that I can think of that you could have done. And it just is so disappointing that we have to result to this, because it just feels so unethical to do it.
Yeah, very unethical.
And as I say, it takes you out of the film. And it keeps on coming up. Like, he is a part of this film. He doesn't get like a one scene cameo. He is in it, and he is this kind of antagonistic force almost. And every time I was just like, just stop.
Stop, please. And I don't like that. It was just so bizarre. And again, I agree, it's just unethical. And the film does so many callbacks to the films, like for example, when Andy saves Rain from the xenomorph down the elevator shaft, and Andy says the line from Aliens when Ripley saves Newt, get off her. Wait, what was the line again?
Get away from her, you bungalow. Taking that joke from Sanjeev Bhaskar, but still, yeah. And there's also the scene where the other guy, I don't know his name, the other guy shows Rain how to use the gun and is like, this is how you use a gun. And it's just like the scene in Aliens where Ripley is shown how to use the gun. And there's a shot at the end as well where Rain's head, they cross dissolve between Rain's head and a planet, and Rain's head becomes the planet. And it's like, you've done this. You've done it. I get it. Move on.
And they do the exact same thing with the log, like the voice log at the end of the movie is just like, hey, whatever, something happened. And it's just so annoying. Again, we've seen the Alien films. This is frustrating because you're like, okay, we've seen this. We already seen this, especially at the end. So at the end of the movie, we get to see that, okay, this character is pregnant in the movie, and she uses this alien serum that Rook makes.
It seems to be derived from the goo from Prometheus. Prometheus. They even mentioned Prometheus in it. When that happened, I was like, oh, are we going to be taking some of those ethical considerations and thinking about the law? No, they just name drop it.
It's so interesting. Come on, we want to know about this. But then the pregnant woman, I forgot her name. We don't even know the names that well in the movie. She takes the serum and then she gets in the cryopod and then something happens. She's infected and she's pregnant again. This is important.
She's pregnant? They never mentioned that.
Oh my God. And she gives birth, which was crazy, to this pod. And it's like, what is this?
Can I just say, that was an amazing scene though. The tension was ramping up, the gore, it was fantastic.
It was insane. And then the pod is like acidic and the baby turns into this messed up, like, those who've seen Bloodborne, it reminded me of this boss, Orphan of Kos, and it was just terrifying. It was terrifying to see. And it's like, oh my God, imagine you just gave birth and that was your child, just like that, and it just stood over you. It's like, oh my God, what is this? And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying to see. But that was great and all, but they do the same thing over and over again. In the Alien films, they get the monster or alien out of the airlock, and they do that every single time. And this happened again. Again, I tell you, again!
I felt like somebody was nudging me, like, hey, remember the airlock? Do you remember? It's like, yeah, I remember the airlock. Shut up. Like, I get it. And also, that whole idea of, you know, giving birth to an alien, that is something that is loaded with possibility, but we've done it already. We did it in Alien Resurrection and in Prometheus, and it doesn't have an ounce of, like, it, you know, I would say that the Deacon in Prometheus, that's so much more terrifying, seeing that moment. And when it comes to Alien Resurrection, the newborn, that's tragic. Like, you know, you see the alien giving birth, the first time we've ever seen an alien giving birth and not laying an egg, and the newborn comes out, and it's this horrible thing. It's this horrible, like, blend of alien and human, and it looks so sad, and it looks like it's in such pain. And Ripley has this moment again. It's drawing on the motherhood themes and these ideas of experimentation and cloning and the ethics behind that, because look how much pain this creature's in. This, we don't get any of that. There's none of these ideas of the pregnant character, whose name we don't know, you know, played by Isabella Merced, is like, can she still love her child? What does she feel about that? Just terror. I mean, like, fine, it works for the scene, but are we not going to dig deeper into, like, what that means, or whether it's right for the Weyland-Yutani Corporation to make this kind of serum? That they used to make this creature was synthesized by them, the same people who are synthesizing Andy. Is it right to, you know, we don't get into any of that stuff about life and death and AI, and it's there, it's right there, but they just don't want to go there because...
Yeah, they just don't want to go there.
They would rather have the freaky nostalgia-oriented throwback.
Yeah, again, it is just all about throwbacks, and it's just so annoying, even though we want new concepts for the alien world, you know, with xenomorphs and what is the big deal with them.
Hey guys, what's the big deal with the xenomorphs? What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Why can't we be friends? Imagine, like, an alien film where they try to be friends and it would be like a musical.
Comedy.
Like Spaceballs, you know, like...
Yes, do that.
They would just do a musical.
The scene where the chestburster comes out in this film is amazing. It's chilling.
Oh, it was terrifying.
The x-ray light, it's, you know, the fact that the ship is crashing and we see it come out slowly. It's not like the pop that we get in the original. It's slow and it's like, it's more brutal. And then I feel someone nudging me and I look next to me and it's John doing the little hat thing from Spaceballs, reminding me of that scene. And suddenly all the tension is gone because I just remember of the scene in Spaceballs where it comes out and just...
I was like, oh, it's that scene. It's that scene from that movie.
I can't even remember what he sings in that scene.
A lady, I don't know.
Hello, my lady. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtag. Yes. Oh, my God. Spaceballs is brilliant. And they're making a sequel to that as well. We're not safe, John.
I think it's called Spaceballs 3.
No, it's not. It's called Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. That's what they tease in the first film.
Yeah, they do. I think they jumped ahead. I don't know. But anyway, enough of Spaceballs lore. But Alien, there was one scene that felt really like 2001 Space Odyssey, where Rain was talking to Rook and it was like, can you open the door? And he's like, I'm afraid I can't do that. And it felt like 2001 with that. I mean, science fiction is always interesting to delve into, but it's all about new concepts and about like these characters exploring the unknown. That's the terrifying thing about space, is the unknown. And I think these films are terrifying, but this one, we want new concept, please. Please,
yeah,
want new
no,
stuff.
That's a good point. It's less scary because you know where it's going to go. You know the face huggers, you know the chest bursters, you know the alien. There's a moment when it reveals there's actually more than one alien, and it's like, great, but we did this. Like, I'm not scared of numerous aliens anymore because we know the stakes from that. I tell you what, though, there is some absolutely amazing stuff with the idea of the acid blood. We've never, like, at least from memory, I don't think that's something that we have really delved into. But even so, the way they did it with that they'd set up the gravity and the anti-gravity earlier on, and there's the sequence where Rain turns off the anti-gravity and all the acid blood is like swirling in the corridor, and they've got to like go through it and then climb up the elevator shaft, and then the gravity turns off. Really well done. Again, this film is executed to perfection. I think that Fede Alvarez just nailed it with the direction. It feels tense and it feels amazing, and especially when it's not doing those odd references to everything else. It feels really, really powerful and really cool. And if it had a stronger backbone, a stronger narrative, and if it was more interested in its own themes, then like this could be one of the best Alien films. I could sit here and confidently say this is the best Alien film since Aliens. That would be wonderful. But unfortunately, I don't think it's close. It hovers somewhere in the middle. It's not the best Alien. It's not the worst Alien. It's there. I enjoyed it. But like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it just felt like there's so many interesting themes in the Alien franchise. Why can't we explore more of that?
Because the box office is what's the most important thing. That's the unfortunate truth.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really sad. But I'm glad, though, that people are seeing this movie, especially at 11 a.m. Just watching the movie, and there were so many people in the cinema. I mean, you get to hear some laughs from people, you know, from...
There was a laugh when they did the whole get away from her, you bitch. Yeah. And I was like, okay, fine. Okay. You know, people liked it. Give the people what they want, I guess.
I guess, but it's annoying to us, though, that we're just like, you know what happens, though. Okay. Yeah.
It was like The Disaster Artist, where Tommy Wiseau is watching The Room and everyone's laughing around him, and he's just like in pain. He's like, what is this? My super artistic movie.
I don't understand this.
Yeah. So everyone was laughing. We were just like in the corner. I will forever be really disappointed that they are not going to make the third film in Ridley Scott's trilogy. If this film does well, it may get a sequel. There's definitely room for a sequel with, the ending where they've still got all the goo and, you know, Andy's in stasis and Rain. There's plenty of places you could go with that. There's going to be a TV show called Alien Earth. That could be interesting. That's next year. But we're never going to see the sequel to Covenant, are we? And that's the real depressing thing.
Depression. We live in the depression timeline.
Yeah.
It's just so sad. It's just like, I like this. Can we see more of this?
But I want to say the cast was excellent. Like, really good.
The cast.
Like, fantastic.
Cooked.
David Johnson. I mean, I loved him in Rylane. He's got great dramatic and comedic talent. But he plays both sides of Andy, both the cold and calculating and also the more humble and meek version, so well. I love how this franchise, every single synth, Ash, Bishop, David, Andy, all played by absolutely incredible actors who can turn off that switch so well.
It's great to see a cast like this that work really well, but it's a shame that we just don't get characters to be developed by these amazing people that we get to see on screen.
I hope that if this film is popular, that the actors, they are brought more into the public eye. I mean, already Kaylee Spiney, which I think is how you pronounce her name, she was in Priscilla and was just absolutely amazing and mesmerizing and perfect and brilliant. And Isabella Merced, obviously, she's going to be in Superman and she's been in various things. I just really hope these people get more because they are brilliant. And again, with Fede Alvarez, I will be watching what he does next because the direction of this film, you cannot floor it at all. Just a shame that there was nothing new here, nothing brought to the table.
I mean, we have to like ignore that but also enjoy the direction that he brought onto the table for this. But also, it's kind of hard for us to like, we love the lore, like to explore about the engineer maybe, or explore about the xenomorph, the different stages of that. So it's a shame we don't see that, but we got to give it to him. He did it so well.
I mean, you actually brought up a good point when we were driving back from the cinema. The alien at the end looked weirdly like the engineer, right? Like, you just reminded me of that, saying the engineer. Like, I wonder at what point when they were making this, was there any point where they were like, yeah, we're going to actually explore that? Or maybe that's leaving open for a sequel. That's what they want to get into.
It looked like an engineer that was merged between the xenomorph and the human, because it just looked like it was that tall. Because you do get to see how tall the engineer is in Prometheus. But it's interesting, because I thought, oh, that looks like that. And I thought maybe that could bring back the idea of the engineer maybe back one day. Because that would be interesting to see human civilization and like maybe try to do something around that. So, yeah.
Hey, yeah. I mean, if this film is popular, maybe they will take more risks next time. Thank you, everybody, for it. Oh, wait, no. What are you going to give it out of 10? I forgot about that bit.
I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Right, okay. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, it's our 4-year anniversary. Ooh. My God, that went so quick. And we're going to be talking about Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I bet is a show that nobody has heard of because nobody's talking about it. But
no one's talking about it.
Here's hoping it's amazing. So, you know.
Yeah, I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I had the figurines when I was younger.
I've got one just there. Can you see that on my Zoom?
It's too tiny. It's too tiny to see. But I had Michelangelo. Yeah!
Leonardo, baby!
Right.
Yes, and you can send us an email, asktimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles if you have watched it. And we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at asktimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell. On Twitter for more thoughts from Tom. And TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to LJN's Mayor for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. And watch out for xenomorphs and facehuggers. And,
yeah,
you know,
don't.
Space.
In space, no one can hear you. Space.
Space. can anyone hear me scream? Take what you give them.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
I screamed. You get it?
Yeah. Oh, you screamed.
Oh! Oh.